Thank the light, everybody! I'm Desmond, and this is my shadow brother.
I'll be your dutier's heavier than a mountain sheep herder to die to the end. Some people don't have that sense of duty. And you know what? Also, Desmond, I just gotta say this, buddy. It's like old times. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Why? Because I want to spend some time with you. Just the two of us. I can make it if we try. That's all I'm saying, buddy.
Just the two of us.
We don't need that guy. We don't need that guy.
That's the Will Smith version, right?
No, it's not the Will Smith version. It's Bill Withers, bro.
I want to play with you, Daddy.
All right, so things are shifting tonight. We're in our second episode as planned, but Jeremy isn't here as unplanned. We're going to do a chapter. And yeah, we're going to move through this a little bit. Justin's got a story to set up this. Is this going to be a story that we're going to leave in the show, or is this just something I got to hear?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. It's good. It's a great story. You want to do it at the beginning or then?
Let's do it at the beginning. Let's
okay,
do it.
Cool.
Let's have
any more setup you need?
Because I'd rather rush through the chapter than your story, because we're just going to be touching
on. It's not a crazy story. It's not long either. It's just it was a cool thing. So, you know.
Feel free to grab a drink or whatever you're going to go do. Get comfy.
No, I'm good. I was never like, you know, you used to know my opinion on The Grateful Dead with Linnea. I would just be like, oh great.
Yes.
People just want to do drugs.
Yes.
And then I met my wife and she was like, hey man, this might be a deal breaker, dummy. And I started listening to The Dead and I'm like, okay, like I get it. And I started listening to some live stuff and you had like podcasts that only did, they'd like play certain shows and then Rock Band happened. And so I got into it. And then we went to see a show, you know, like the remaining members of the Dead. And then Dead and Company happened with, for those of you who don't know what Dead and Company is, that's John Mayer playing with the remaining members of Dead and Company. And there's another guy named O'Teal or whatever. He plays bass instead of Phil Lesh, who's still alive, but he doesn't get along with the rest of the members of the band. But we went and saw them for the first time, I believe, in 2016. And it was really, really good. John Mayer, I was like, I could care less about John Mayer, especially at that time. And I was like, whatever, you know, I heard he can play guitar. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. And then we took Connor to see them in 2019 at the Gorge. And it was like, for anyone who knows anything about the Dead, you listen, you will go to Dead shows for 15 years to hear a song you like.
Yeah.
And then they'll just play an instrumental for like 3 minutes and then go back to riffing on something else. They played like out of the four times I've seen them now, they have played every song, like all of my favorite songs except one. Is me and my uncle. They haven't played that one. And they played it on a second set when I wasn't there. The last time me and Connor went, which is fine. But it's their last tour. Like they're retiring. And they've never been like, we're retiring before. Like they're done. They're done. And so I don't know if John Mayer will carry it on in some way, but they're done. And this is their last tour. And this is their, out of their last four shows, two were at the Gorge and two are going to be in San Francisco. We're trying to go out of town. So I was like, man, I don't want to take Friday off. Like it's going to hurt me a little financially. I would rather work that day and then go Saturday to the last show. And I was like, if I can afford it, because the tickets have been crazy expensive. Like everywhere else, they're like $150.
Yeah.
Seattle, of course, fucking $500, you know, a piece. And it's just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I'm waiting until the last second. And I watched them on Friday and they got down to like $100 right before the show. So I'm like, cool, man, we're going. And we're going to get in. Like, I don't care. I'll commit.
To the Friday show.
To the Saturday show.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, we're going to get in. We're going to get in. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, I've had faith. Like, you know, even if I have to spend a little more than that, I'm okay with spending like $450 to go to a show.
Yeah. It's the Dead. Yeah.
It's their last show. It's going to be great. I'm stoked about it. It's Dead and Company. It's great. And the last three, I've been to three now. That'd be my fourth one. And it's like, you know, awesome. We got to do it. And it's like, so it was like, you know, we're going to do this. And so we start going over there. I start watching the tickets and they're not going down. They're going up.
Oh.
And I finally got them down. It was like 260 and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to get them. And that's going to be like $700.
And then you got to drive to the fucking Gorge.
We were driving to the Gorge. We were driving.
But for those who don't know, the Gorge isn't near fucking anything.
No, and I'm further away from Seattle. It's about 3 hours to get over there.
Yeah.
And we're driving there. And so I'm waiting last second. We're there. Still no tickets.
Oh, you're there.
We're there. And still no tickets. And like we're like down the road from it. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm stressing out. I don't know what.
Well, you know, people will be selling them at the door. I mean, they'll be fucking expensive. But
not really, dude, because everything's digital these days. There was tickets left on Friday. But by the time we almost got there, there was like 20 tickets left to the whole show. And I'm starting to stress, dude. And I just looked at, I looked at Lisa and I'm like, I just need to do it. She looks at me. Oh man, I love my wife, dude. Love her so much. It was just like one of those moments. She just grabbed my arm. She goes, dude, I see the effort you're putting in. I don't need you to spend money to prove, like, I know what you're trying to do. I know how hard you've tried. I know you had it figured out. Please do not spend $1,000 on these tickets. I've been to several dead shows and never gotten in the door, and it's been great. Let's drive there and see what happens.
That's true. I mean, parking lot at a dead show, like, that's not a bad time.
Especially at the Gorge, people are camping. So we get there, and usually the last three times we've been there, you got tickets, show me them before you can even park.
Oh.
We're pulling in. It's about 20 minutes, half an hour to showtime. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Gotta pay? Nope. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Didn't have to pay for tickets. Didn't have to pay for the show. We got parked close enough. So I, you know, had all the party favors, got some candy bars that had some things in them that would make you feel real awesome. Yes. Fungus based, you know, if you catch my drift, space mushies. And so, you know, we get there and we're just like, okay, let's get set up. You know, we got drinks, we got food. Let's eat these mushrooms. And like, well, we'll just wander up to the fence, just hang out and listen, you know, fuck it. Right. Well, I was like, fuck it. This will be great. I don't care. She's like, I've done this before. I don't care. We dance in the parking lot. She starts looking up the set list from the night before. While I'm getting ready, she goes, what's this? It looks like we can stream the show. What do you mean? Look at it. Oh, all you got to do is pay $40. You can stream the show live. Bro, we stream the show live in the car on my phone. And I mean fucking out of my mind on mushrooms in the AC, not by anybody else, with all my booze, taking bong hits. It was one of the best concert experiences I've ever had in my life.
Could you roll the windows down and hear it if you wanted to?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Walk to the bathroom. You can hear them playing. Our fucking Jeep has a badass stereo system in it. So it's fucking loud and money. And we're ice cold like cucumbers chilling.
Oh my
and
God.
Dude, they played. And it was cool because it was one of those things that you got to watch them and you're not distracted by everyone else around you, jostling you, bumping into you, whatever. And you really get to see like John Mayer and Bob Weir, the other main guy. You get to see their friendship and their camaraderie and their stage presence together. And it was fucking cool. Awesome day and a reconnecting day with nature and my wife and just everything was awesome. And she solely saved the day. It was pretty cool.
Good for you guys. I just today, everyone out there, you listened to it a couple weeks ago, but I just today edited for Friday, you talking about hoping you're going to get tickets. Just like, fuck, they're expensive. I'm going to keep watching them. Hopefully they'll drop and I'll get them. Like it's their last show. So this is an awesome follow-up to that.
Well, and shameless advertising, it's called nugs.net. They have some Springsteen shows and they have a bunch of cataloged dead shows from back in the day that, you know, are obviously just audio only. And they have a bunch of Dead & Company shows that are audio only, but I can stream a bunch of them live as well. Or, you know, stream the show, not live, obviously, because they happened in the past, but I can stream the whole show, you know, and visibly see them on stage.
All right. This is, so yeah, we're going to listen to this chat. This is, I don't know. We're just going to get into it. Do you want to, I'll introduce the chapter. The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 43, Shadow Brothers. What got us here, Justin?
Just so you know, I'm right where I need to be now. I don't know if it's going to be the episode that you're probably releasing tomorrow, the 13th, 12th of July, where they were in the inn.
No, that one, that'll be next week's, yeah. So 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we did an episode about them. They had just gotten to down the river from Perrin Fringall and they're in an inn and they get attacked by six gray men.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And they have a little fight and then they're looking around the outside of their inn because Lan is feeling something wrong. Perrin smells something very wrong and they're going to investigate and they grab Loial too. And Zareen's tagging, Fail Zareen is, Mandarb is tagging along.
So they're tagging along and then this, we're going to jump on right when Perrin takes a little nappy poo. little nap.
Wait, they were outside and then now he's doing a nap?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going into before this, they were just talking about the fight. And then he goes into telling.
And then they goes to tell him about the paw print in the stone.
Yeah.
That's important.
Thank you. Peter started back toward the inn, walking quickly, but peering at the street ahead of him as if following something. Whatever it was led straight to one of the mounting blocks, almost beside the inn door. He stopped there, staring at the top of the gray stone block. Baron decided to abandon going down the alley. It stank as much as the canals in this part of Ilion, for one thing, and walked over to Lan instead. He saw what the warder was staring at right away. Pressed into the top of the stone mounting block were two prints, as if a huge hound had rested its forepaws there. The smell that was almost burned sulfur was strongest here. Dogs don't make footprints in stone. Like, they don't. He could make out the trail Lan had followed, too. The hound had trotted up the street as far as the mounting block, then turned and gone back the way it had come, leaving tracks in the stone as if they had been a plowed field. They just don't. Dark hound, Lan said, and Zareen gasped. Loyal moaned softly. For no gear. A dark hound leaves no mark on dirt, blacksmith. Not even on mud. But stone is another matter. There hasn't been a dark hound seen south of the mountains of Doom since the Trolloc Wars. This one was hunting for something, I'd say. And now that it has found it, it is going to tell its master.
Me? Baron thought. Grey men and dark hounds hunting me? This is crazy. Are you telling me Nita was right?
Zareen demanded in a shaky voice.
Old Grimm is really riding with the wild hunt? Like, I always thought it was just a story.
Don't be a complete fool, girl, Lan said harshly. If the Dark One were free, we'd all be worse than dead by now. He peered off down the street, the way the tracks went. But dark hounds are real enough. Almost as dangerous as Murdral, and harder to kill.
Now you bring fetches into it, Zareen muttered. Greymen, fetches, dark hounds. You had better lead me to the Horn of Valir, farm boy. What other surprises do you have waiting for me?
No questions, Lan told her.
I have a question, Baron said, and I want an answer. You didn't sense this dark hound, Lan, and neither did Moraine. Why not?
The warder was silent for a time. The answer to that, blacksmith, he said grimly at last. Maybe more than you or I, either one, want to know. I hope the answer does not kill us all. You three get what sleep you can. I doubt we will stay the night in Ilion, and I fear we have hard riding ahead.
What are you going to do?
Baron asked. I'm going after Moraine, to tell her about the Dark Hound. She can't be angry with me for following for that. Not when she would not know it was there until it took her throat. The first big drops of rain splatted on the paving stones as they went back inside. Billy had removed the last of the dead Greymen and was sweeping up the sawdust where they had bled. The dark-eyed girl was singing a sad song about a boy leaving his love. Mistress Luhan would have enjoyed it greatly. Lan ran ahead of them, across the common room and up the stairs. By the time Perrin reached the second floor, the warder was already starting back down. Buckling his sword belt on, color-shifting cloak, Hank.
I do not know if I can sleep, but I will try. Dreams will be more pleasant than staying awake.
Not always, Loyal, Perrin thought as the ogre went on down the hall. Zareen seemed to want to stay with him, but he told her to go to sleep and firmly shut the slatted door in her face. He stared at his own bed reluctantly as he stripped down to his underbreeches. I have to find out, he sighed, and crawled onto the bed. Rain drummed down outside and thunder boomed. The breeze across his bed carried some of the rain's coolness, but he did not think he would need any of the blankets at the foot of the mattress. His last thought before sleep claimed him was that he had forgotten to light a candle again, though the room was dark.
Careless. Mustn't be careless. Carelessness ruins the work.
Dreams tumbled through his head. Dark hounds chasing him. He never saw them, but he could hear their howling. Fades and Greymen. A tall, slender man flashed into them again and again, in richly embroidered coats and boots with gold fringe. Most of the time, he held what seemed to be a sword shining like the sun, and laughed triumphantly. Sometimes the man sat on a throne, and kings and queens groveled before him. These felt strange, as if they were not really his dreams at all. Then the dreams changed, and he knew he was in the wolf dream he sought. This time, he had hoped for it. He stood atop a high, flat-topped stone spire, the wind ruffling his hair, bringing a thousand dry scents and a faint hint of water hidden in the far distance. For an instant, he thought he had the form of a wolf, and fumbled at his own body to make sure what he saw was really him. He wore his own coat and breeches and boots. He held his bow, and his quiver hung at his side. The axe was not there.
Hopper! Hopper, where are you?
The wolf did not come. Surrounded him, and other tall spires, separated by arid flats and jumbled ridges, and sometimes a large plateau rising with sheer sides. Things grew, but nothing lush. Tough, short grass. Bushes wiry and covered with thorn, and other things that even seemed to have thorns on their fat leaves. Scattered, stunted trees twisted by the wind. Yet wolves could find hunting even in this land. As he peered at this rough land, a circle of darkness suddenly blanked out a part of the mountains. He could not have said whether the darkness was right in front of his face or halfway to the mountains, but he seemed to be seeing through it and beyond. Matt, rattling a dice cup. His opponent stared at Matt with eyes of fire. Matt did not seem to see the man, but Perrin knew him.
Matt! He shouted. It's Baalzaman! Light, Matt, you're dicing with Baalzaman!
Matt made his toss, and as the dice spun, the vision faded and the dark place was dry mountains again.
Hopper!
Perrin turned slowly, looking in every direction. He even looked up in the sky. He can fly now. Where clouds promised to rain, the ground far below the spire top would drink up as soon as it fell.
Hopper!
A darkness formed among the clouds, a hole into somewhere else. Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine stood looking at a huge metal cage with a raised door held on a heavy spring. They stepped in and reached up together to loose the catch. The barred door snapped down behind them. A woman with her hair all in braids laughed at them, and another woman, all in white, laughed at her. The hole in the sky closed, and there were only clouds.
Hopper! Where are you?
He called.
I need you, Hopper!
And the grizzled wolf was there, alighting on the spire top as if he had leaped from somewhere higher.
Dangerous. You have been warned, young bull. Too young. Too new yet.
I need to know, Hopper. You said there were things I must see. I need to see more. No more.
He hesitated, thinking of Matt, of Egwene, and Nynaeve, and Elaine.
The strange things I see here. Are they real?
Hopper's sending seemed slow, as if it were so simple the wolf could not understand the need to explain it or how to. Finally, though, something came.
What is real is not real. What is not real is real. Flesh is a dream, and dreams have flesh.
That doesn't tell me anything, Hopper. I do not understand.
The wolf looked at him as if he had said he did not understand that water was wet. You said I had to see something, and you showed me Baalzaman and Lanfear.
Heartfang. Moon Hunter.
Why did you show me, Hopper? Why did I have to see them?
The last hunt comes. What will be, must be.
I do not understand. The last hunt? What last hunt? Hopper. Greymen came to kill me tonight.
The not dead hunt you?
Yes, Greymen. After me. A dark hound was right outside the inn. I want to know why they're after me.
Shadow Brothers. Hopper crouched, looking to either side as if he almost expected an attack. Long since we have seen the Shadow Brothers. You must go, young bull. Great danger. Flee the Shadow Brothers. Why are they after me, Hopper? You do know. I know you do. Flee, young bull. Hopper leaped, forepaws hitting Perrin's chest, knocking him back over the edge. Flee the Shadow Brothers. The wind rushed in his ears as he fell. Hopper and the edge of the spire top dwindled above him.
Why, Hopper?
He shouted.
I have to know why.
The last hunt comes. He was going to hit. He knew it. The ground below rushed up at him, and he tensed against the crushing impact that he started awake, staring at the candle flickering on the small table beside the bed. Lightning flashes lit the window, and thunder rattled it. What did he mean, the last hunt? He mumbled. I did not light any candle. You talk to yourself and thresh in your sleep. He jumped and cursed himself for not having noticed the herbal scent in the air. Zareen sat on a stool at the edge of the candlelight, elbow on her knee, chin on her fist, watching him. You are Tavirin, she said, as if ticking off a point. Stoneface thinks those odd eyes of yours can see things his can't. Before he could find words, the door crashed back against the wall, and Moraine stood in the doorway, her face as pale and grim as death. Your wolf dreams tell as truly as a dreamer's, Perrin. The Forsaken are loose, and one of them rules in Ilion.
Did Moraine say that last part, or Zareen?
Yeah, no, that was Moraine. She came, I think she burst through the door and was like, yeah, one of them. See, I thought they already knew that there was a Forsaken in Ilion. Obviously not. So that starts off and they're still feeling like a threat, but they can't really tell what it is. But Perrin is still smelling something. Lan, even like if you talk about how Lan and Moraine didn't even sense the Greymen, which isn't that weird because Greymen are kind of even undetectable a little bit more. They'll feel something is wrong, but.
And they're just fucking everywhere at this point.
They're really not. There's really not a lot of them.
Really?
For whoever it was, and I believe it was Samael, who is in charge is one of the people who's holding power in Ilion now. He's one of the Forsaken. I believe, you know, for him to commit six Greymen to try to off Perrin is that's a lot of resources to spend on him. So
wow.
He was very, and also.
And they were all dispatched, or no, one got away, right?
I don't think so. I think they all died.
Or did they dispatch all six?
Yeah, I believe they killed all of them.
Yeah.
And I believe they talk about it. It's a pack of Darkhounds, and I believe a pack of six or five Darkhounds. And once they set on a target, they usually won't quit until you're dead. And they don't need to rest. You know, fucking, they kind of Terminator, dude. You chop them up. They go back together. They're gnarly. They smell like, it says, you know, he said something about, oh, you could smell like the smell of burnt fireworks. It smelled like sulfury. That's a giveaway. They smell very heavily of sulfur. They're kind of, I picture them as being like, you know, very dark, almost silvery and kind of like, I feel like they can almost disappear like a fade because they're so dark, you know?
Yeah. Blend in real good.
See them just kind of like, smile and showing their teeth, you know. Oh shit. Lan definitely is starting to kind of, you know, really realize that Perrin has some sort of senses that he may not understand, but he respects that, you know, it gives, you know, at this point, it's a common theme in the books. You'll start to see like advantages as technology changes, you know. Matt figures out he wants to make something. You know, there's you'll come across someone who they call an illuminator, someone who makes fireworks. And he starts having her work on something as a weapon.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just start to see advantages in battle and whether it's information or whatever, people start to rediscover talents in the power. Men start channeling.
Listen to the chapter on here where someone gives or sells Matt some fireworks and they're like, and Matt was talking about like, well, when I was a kid, I took one apart and my dad, you know, beat me within an inch of my life. And then she's like, whatever you do, don't fucking take these apart because the powder inside of it is like a nuclear bomb.
That was when Matt was traveling with Tom.
Right.
So I think it just happened or it's going
to
happen.
Well, no, I've heard it. So I haven't heard anything past what we just listened to.
Okay. You know what? I think that might've been in the Dragon Reborn. There's a time in Dragon Reborn when Matt and Tom are traveling together then, right? Because he comes across them in book two when he finds them in Tar Valon or something, right?
Well, they run across some fireworks, but they don't steal any.
It's because they save her. Someone's trying to attack her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they
save her
in that barn. And I believe that's in The Great Hunt.
That would be fucking weird if it was, because that means I was in Telen Riad last night and was reliving the Dragon Reborn. Oh no, that's the one we're listening to. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant kept being The Great Hunt. Yeah, a couple chapters ago in The Dragon Reborn, that happened. Sorry.
I think that it's when Matt and Tom first take off.
Yeah.
Eludra is very important.
Does Robert Jordan rush this chapter a little bit, or does Perrin go to sleep on purpose so he can talk to Hopper?
I feel like he goes to sleep kind of on purpose, but it's also kind of like, hey, you better go get some rest because we're going to leave in a couple hours.
Okay.
So I think he's like, okay, I think at this point, I'm just kind of convoluted because I've been really jamming through book 12.
Okay.
Lately, you know, me and Jeremy started at the same time. He's reading, I'm listening. I'm on chapter 44. I'm almost done with it because it just goes so much faster when you could listen.
Yeah.
But so I'm a little confused, but I think at this point, Perrin doesn't really choose to go into the wolf dream or not. It just kind of happens.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of like, hey, you better go get some sleep, blacksmith. And then he's kind of like, well, this is that dream. I better look for Hopper while I'm here to see if I can find anything out. And he starts, you know, telling him about the Dark Hounds. I missed some of the clip while I was gone, but I think he's talking to Hopper, trying to get information about the Dark Hounds, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they, and like, yeah, Perrin sees a lot of shit. There's obviously a ton of foreshadowing going on. And he's like, Hopper, the fuck is going on? And Hopper's just like, it's happening. The last hunt is on.
Yeah, it's starting to happen. And it's not the last hunt because you do get, it's starting, you know, the ball has started rolling. You know, you're going down that highway to Tarmangaidon, the last battle. Perrin can definitely smell him. You'd see, like, he says something about how deadly warders are. Like, warders don't need a weapon to kill you. Aiel don't need a weapon to kill you. Rand gets to a point where he doesn't need a weapon to kill you. Neither does Perrin. Matt's always got knives.
Does he start hiding them? Does he learn from Tom just to...
Matt eventually has so many knives on him, it's ridiculous. So does Min and so does Fael. They're like ridiculous. Really? Fael has a less ridiculous amount of knives, but Min is another one. She's got knives, a lot of knives. But Matt's just like, he's got them in his boots, he's got them in his back, he's got them in his hat, his neck, like, he's got them everywhere, up his sleeves, and he's quick with them too.
Yeah.
And they, like I said, the old Grimm and the Wild Hunt, that's like, you know, just like a legend, but it's like when they set the Dark Hounds after you, you know, or whatever.
I'm going to get this wrong, I know, but Hopper says, flesh has dreams, dreams have flesh. Is that his way of saying, like, you can be hurt here, like you're flesh and blood here?
Yes, it's like, you know, what happens here is real. You know, if you die here, you're dead. And if you die here, you die forever.
What happens in Telen Riad does not stay in Telen Riad.
Well, and if you die in Telen Riad, I don't know if it's for a human, but if you die in Telen Riad as a wolf, you don't get reborn. It's like Balefire, because the wolves wait there for rebirth. Kind of the same thing with like the Heroes of the Horn, and they wait in Telen Riad till they're either called or reborn.
Our Shadow Brothers... Is that just their name in Telen Riad? Like,
that's just what wolves call them.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Perrin's a wolf brother. They're shadow brothers. They're like they're the anti-wolf.
Oh, that's what they call each other.
Right.
Oh, okay. I thought shadow brothers was like gray man for wolves or something.
No, shadow brothers are what the wolves call the Dark Hounds.
Oh, rad. Oh, that makes sense.
And they're an Ilian. So the dream that Perrin has of a man grasping a sword, I believe, is Samael. But as soon as they get to Tyr, he starts having that same dream of a man grasping Kalendor, and it's another Forsaken who's in Tyr. So it's like that is a little confusing, but you know.
This is supposed to be confusing. You're supposed to be like, holy fuck, there's a lot going on. And
yeah, and it really starts to come to a head, and this book really starts to fucking run, you know?
Yeah.
All the way through the Shadow Rising. Also, another thing about Dark Hounds is that even a drop of their, like, slaver, whatever, can kill you, and it's super corrosive. It will eat through metal and iron.
Like Trollocs, kind of. Well, they can't eat through iron and stuff, but they're...
Sort of, but it's like, even if it drops on you, you'll die.
The opposite of when a wolf licks your wound and it heals it.
Oh, that's good foreshadowing, dude, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Think about it. It's like, well, if your wolf licks your wound, it's okay. But if these guys drip on you, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I think another reason why Moraine and Lan, because of their connection to the power, whoever sent the Dark Hounds and the Grey Men, I'm thinking it's Samael, because he's the Forsaken, you find out in the next chapter that he's the Forsaken who's in power in Ilion. I think he has warded them so that they can't sense them, because that's a thing too.
Oh, right.
It's kind of like an invisibility cloak to hide it from people who can channel or who are sensitive, that kind of thing. But because Perrin's isn't really related to the power, it's just like a wolf sense, he can smell them. He doesn't know what it is. He just knows it's fucked off.
Yeah.
But that's why he can sense them and Lan and Moraine can't.
Something smells poopy.
Yep. Smells fish guts around here, as Suan would say.
Yes, she would.
Also, he said something about putting on his cloak in town. And Loial mentions like, hey, they don't fucking do that. So this is, whatever's going on is fucking serious. And it's because.
Who puts on their cloak? Oh, Lan puts
on and it's
cloak.
Like, they've got the little, like, literal, like, invisibility cloak type thing that kind of makes it disappear. And that's because he's going to go looking for Moraine and he knows that she's stealthing around. And he's like, I don't want to get caught up looking for her.
Yeah.
I want to get caught slipping while I'm looking for her, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This of all the, like, paragraphs Robert Jordan will drone on about, this one like
was really short. It was like
and Moraine's gone and Lan throws on his cloak and then Perrin goes to bed and you're like, what
what's happening? Oh Jesus,
is it you late for dinner, Mr. Jordan? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no shit. I think that he starts talking about Min's vision. I think he's talking about running from beautiful woman. I'm pretty sure that's Lanfear. Because she says something about a hawk and a falcon. You'll meet the hawk, the woman who's the hawk later. She's not a bad person, but she definitely causes problems.
Is Zareen the falcon?
Yeah. Her name is, she changed her name to Fayo, which means falcon in old tongue. And you can see they're already going to fucking make babies.
Yeah.
Hopper's such a spirit guide too. He's just like, well, young bull, here's some riddles and some gobbledygook and some flibbity flam and that you could figure it out, right? And he's like, no, like, first of all, I'm a blacksmith, so no, I don't have that, like, that's not how my brain works. And second of all, like, I'm talking to a wolf. This is all fucking new. Help me out.
I can't remember in the book when Perrin kills his wife. Is it
That's because it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen in the book?
In the book, no.
What the fuck?
He doesn't have a wife.
Oh, that's right. What the fuck is that?
That's one of the things that I've recently been thinking about a lot. And it's like, you know, I know they had to get him to kind of lean into like the way of the leaf stuff and not wanting to do violence. But I don't think you needed to have him like kill off his wife to, you know, they're a small village. Violence is not a thing. It wouldn't be hard for him to just be like, I'm just a big guy. I was always careful because I never wanted to hurt anybody. You know, I don't even think you need.
I make weapons for a living. I know what they can do.
Yeah,
I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, and even then, like I make farm tools and shit. I don't make weapons. You know, like it would be easy to lean into without him, you know, gutting his possibly pregnant wife. Because is she pregnant? What do you think of that? He reaches around and kind of holds her belly, and it's like,
oh yeah, I totally think she was pregnant.
That was a twofer. That's two for him.
How has he not seen his dead wife in Tel and Riad? And that's because he doesn't fucking have
one. Doesn't have a dead wife. So, and in the show, he does see his dead wife in Tel and Riad. So,
yep,
she's like, I know, or whatever. Remember, she's like, I know that. I can't remember what she said, but you know, she got fucking zombie eyes staring at him, making him feel shitty in Tel and Riad.
I'm starting to have sympathy for people who watched episode one and said, nope, you fucked it up. Like, that's a big, there's a lot of little things where it's like, well, we got to move this forward and get to know these people. But
you didn't need to add that. You didn't need to add that. It doesn't make sense. And like I said, if they, one of the things that the Unraveling the Pattern dude was saying, and he goes, look, he goes, I don't care how we get to the waterfall, as long as we get to the waterfall.
Yeah.
And it makes sense and it's good. He's like, you know, there's going to be certain things they're going to have to hit because that's how you tell the story. But he says, I hope that they choose to either elaborate on things that we already know about or, you know, like the Winter Night thing. I liked that.
Yeah.
That was okay with me because you get to see in the book, you didn't get that. And you know, that was going on.
But it's part of the story. They didn't make up Winter Night for the show.
And I'm not mad about the cold open with the white cloaks and the burning. I mean, that's okay. You're adding a layer of depth to their shittiness, and that's all right. But to add some things that just really didn't need to be there and you're wasting screen time on it, that's where I do agree with Jeremy. You didn't need that stuff. And unless they have some kind of a payoff for him killing his wife, and I'm hoping they do, like he said, if it's part of the story of how we get to the waterfall at the end to have a cold drink, great. But if it's just one of those things that kind of hangs out there and they never do anything with it, I'm going to just be like, oh, what the fuck? Why?
Could she be Hopper? I mean, I know she's not Hopper, but could she be his dream guide? Maybe
it's a possibility.
Or would you be?
But what's more likely is I think they're going to combine Elias and Hopper.
Okay.
Because Elias is around at the end of the book series and he's around at the beginning. And I really feel like Perrin will come across Hopper in the Dreamland. Then he'll come across Hopper in real life, which is Elias. Then Elias will probably get killed and then be Hopper in the dream, is what I think. And instead of, like, we probably won't get the scene of the guy, the wolf guy in the cage, because I think they're going to explain their wolf brother shit with Elias and Hopper in the dream. That's one of another one. And that's not my theory. That's an unraveling the pattern theory that I just, you know, I stole off of it, because he's like, it made a lot of sense to me the way he broke it down. It was like, oh, you know, you can kind of kill two birds while stone with these two characters and give them a much more reason to keep them in it longer, because they could be characters that could be, you know, kind of one or two episodes and done. At least with Elias, for sure. Like, they could leave him out, not completely, because you have to explain the wolf brother aspect, but, you know, you could have him in and out in a passing glance, but it looks like they're going to spend some time with him. So I hope, I would be okay if they combined him and Hopper.
All right. Well, I'm going to cut this short before I go off about Perrin's wife, because we are going to have six seasons to talk about that fucking thing.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, that was one of the things that's like, you know, they added. It was just like, you know, I hope you have a plan to kind of.
But it doesn't matter, because any plan is just going to be adding more shit that isn't there. And it's like, now you have to add a ton of shit that wasn't there, or totally replace a character with his dead wife.
At the very least, there's a small, you know, 10-minute storyline that you have to wrap that up with.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Please, again, I'm going to say it again. Please rate us and like us. Please tell the algorithms about us. I know you're listening. I know you're telling your friends, but if you could tell the digital gods that you're listening to the show, that would be great. And check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is where Fatty hangs out most of the time. I'll chime in here and there, but if you want to slide into Fatty's DMs, that's where it's done. Send us questions and comments and your theories about Perrin's wife in the upcoming seasons. Send those to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And if you're looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Be Brave and That Fitness Couple, and Time Pop. Check out Time Pop. We're having a lot of fun this summer. We had The Flash. We got that new movie up and running. We just did a whole hour on a 6-minute time travel short that is fantastic. You'll love it. The 1-minute time machine takes you 6 minutes to watch and an hour to listen to the podcast. Can't beat that. We're doing Indiana Jones soon, and we've got a great fall lineup coming to you. So check out time travel movies while you're waiting for the check out Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast, while you're waiting for the next Thank the Light. You can find that all on whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. And never forget, everybody, carelessness ruins the work.
And let us know if you didn't miss Jeremy. Okay, come on. Just kidding.
We love you, Jeremy.
May you always find water and shade, nurse.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And also, there was a guy who had bottles of drugs, and I don't know what that means.